the rest of the story. Another death threat? Well, what had John expected after writing that awful book? Not that John himself thought the book was awful. The problem was practically everybody else did. Angry demonstrators shouting charges of prevarication, pornography. They insisted it was awful. People who had never read one word of it agreed that it was awful. Folks lined up at bookstores nationwide, turning it into the biggest seller since Gone with the Wind, and were hoping it was awful. But the criticism was getting serious now. Serious as in death threats and book bannings and book burnings, the fury had begun. On the steps of the St. Louis Public Library, a bonfire roared, fueled literally by John's controversial literature. There followed similar demonstrations in communities across the nation, from Buffalo, New York, to Kern County, California. In San Francisco, the protested book took the form of a large luncheon at the Palace Hotel, hosted by a state senator's wife, Ruth Comfort Mitchell. She vowed revenge. From pulpits everywhere, including that of Archbishop Spellman himself, John's book was bitterly condemned, and from the floor of the United States Congress, Representative Lyle Boren described it as a black, infernal creation of a twisted, distorted mind. Some defended John, some college professors, some government officials, even some liberal ministers. But nobody yet with enough clout to offset the tide of disapproval. And then the same sensationalism which had made John's book a bestseller attracted 20th Century Fox. It appeared the controversy of the year was going to the movies. But on the verge of purchasing that incendiary project, producer Darrell F. Zanuck grew wary. What if the studio were class action sued, he wondered, or even bombed by some self-righteous lunatic? So, as the mogul ruminated on the likely liabilities compared to the certain considerable box office success, he decided that there was one thing he must do. He must hire the best private detectives in Hollywood. He must send them out to discover at least whether John's incredible story were true. Well, the investigators investigated, and they returned to report the most preposterous findings imaginable, that not only was John's story factual, it had underestimated the conditions it described. And thus confidently did producer Zanuck proceed with the motion picture version of John's book, just about the same time that it found the most prestigious defender, First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt. Oh yes, Mrs. Roosevelt asserted to the press, she believed that matters were just as disturbing as John had depicted them, and thus legitimized. John's novel won acceptance. The controversy was redirected to its content, the unbelievable plight of America's migrant farm workers. Once upon mere words on paper, there was a national fury in our country in which books were banned and burned and an author was abused and threatened. I know such seems inconceivable today, but the staple of American literature, read by high school students for generations, enraged the population in 1939. John Steinbeck's Grapes of Wrath. And now you know the rest of the story.